and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or the black kid gets it.
What the hell?
Good enough for the cops.
That seems a bit insensitive.
I'm sorry to all you non-racist cops.
I don't think you understand here.
Hey, is that a gun?
No, I don't even have anything in my hand.
Looks like you're reaching for a gun.
I'm not even black!
At least keep telling yourself that, cracker.
Fucking hell!
We only have two rules of the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. The show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you psychotic zealot Myers. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Jason Stewart.
Yay.
Again. We just had him on Skeptically Yours. And Ian Harris, you know these guys from Showbiz. Welcome back, Jason.
Hey, God, yeah. I just walked in this second.
I'm going to remind you to stay on that mic.
Adjust that mic
for that man, will you?
This is Los Angeles, for those of you who don't know, and the traffic. I mean, I don't know where everybody is.
No, I know.
Going.
It's a nightmare.
I literally 45 minutes just from Hollywood.
Yeah. This time
there
of the
is
day,
no
it can
God.
Be like that. Yeah, there is no God. Where's your God now? There is no God.
If you could just do something about traffic, I would be so happy.
It's never going to be fixed. There's nothing that they can do. We're just going to continue to procreate and grow and become a problem, and that's why we all have to stop the influx of illegal immigrants into this country. What? I don't think that's what I meant. I don't. That's one of the arguments probably that's made, isn't it? By the assets.
I do not know. My father was an immigrant. He came here from Poland and. After the war, he was in the Holocaust. He was in the not the camps, but the ghettos. So I come
in the ghetto.
Yeah, so
in
I
the
come.
Ghetto.
So I come from somebody who came here because they were trying to.
Everyone does a better life.
So when people say things like that, I don't understand what they're talking.
My
about.
My grandparents came from Hungary, so
yeah, so
I'm half white.
Uh-oh.
And so, exactly. So you know what exactly it is. When you grow up with somebody who is a foreigner in your house and you have foreigners, you have a different perspective of what that is and what this country means.
Yeah.
And how important it is.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. I was so excited to come on this show because when you said this was about God and whether there is a God or not, that's sort of the discussion of it.
Yeah.
I was so my father passed away around 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And I was in the room a little after, you know, literally 10 minutes after he passed away. And I'm looking and sitting here staring at this man who I'd seen the day before, you know, who I fed and helped. I remember the last moment seeing him. And then all of a sudden you see this body.
Right.
It looked like someone had stuck a pin in him and all the air had just gone out of him and he was gone.
Yeah.
He left. So I thought, you know, I spent so many hours thinking about this. Where did that go?
Right.
Where does that energy, where does that life force go? Is that God?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I don't know. And so I thought to myself, God, where does all that go? And then I started to think, I thought, you know, I've also been in a 12-step program for 24 years.
Okay.
Not for booze, but for food and Al-Anon. And it's changed my life, just the structure of that program. People say, do you have a problem? I said, no, I just like going to these meetings, I like the structure of that.
Yeah.
And they insist that you have, you know, some sort of higher power, whether it be this sugar-free Red Bull or my iPhone or whatever it is, just something to believe in other than yourself.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, God, if all of our collective energies must go someplace, they say, and then there's all this talk in the Bible of heaven and hell, and maybe we're living in heaven and hell right here on earth, and there is no heaven. Maybe we just sort of misunderstood what they wrote there, which I think we did a lot.
Well, I think language is very important.
Oh, I think.
And when we find ourselves trying to transpose phrases like heaven, hell, and God to fit models that are more palatable, that help us understand the world as it is a little
bit
better.
See, look what just happened there, this moment. See? This is exactly what I'm talking about. There was a moment when I looked at you and I thought, I'm having a connection with you. There's something that seems familiar. There's something that seems connected to me.
Yeah, well, you were here last week.
But we humans do that.
I know, so that's what my thinking was, is just to finish my long-winded speech, is that what happens is our energy is always here. We never leave.
What do you mean by energy?
That life force, whatever's inside of us when we die, this is just the shell, so we're always here.
Well,
We never go anywhere. We just keep jumping into other bodies, I guess.
I can say this. If you...
And I don't know this for sure. It's just a thought.
No, I've heard this before. It's not not to diminish your thought. It's certainly not an original thought. It's a thought I've heard from many other comics, actually.
And then I heard it on Oprah's channel, and that was
there
it.
You go. Yeah, well, that's
Oprah
all you needed.
Is Oprah's right on. About everything.
But... the whole we're always the energy is always there. Let's go a little abstract with it for a moment.
Please.
Let's say that we cut my head off per my demands after I pass away and put it in a jar, right? And
Ugh.
It's in well, let's
Ugh.
Okay. And there
it's
my
a delicacy
head,
in Japan by there my there,
is
there,
it
Emery's head yes.
Yeah yeah
oh.
There my head sets in a jar and my grandchildren and their grandchildren and it's preserved. In fact, the preservation the ability to preserve it just becomes better with new technologies as we move forward. So it's really well preserved through hundreds, maybe thousands, or even hundreds of thousands or millions of years. There my head sits.
That would be cool. And
it'd be cool. Now, the fact of the matter is, it's really kind of inconsequential in the grand scheme. I'm going to take us away from that for a moment. Now I'm going to say the Buddhists and some others believe in reincarnation. And the concept of reincarnation, my aunt believed in reincarnation. The concept of reincarnation is a moot point, just like the storage of my head is a moot point. Because no one can talk to it, no one can interact with it, and I can't continue to experience life in that head in the jar. It isn't experiencing life anymore. So what's important has stopped. Same with reincarnation. When if my aunt had been reincarnated, let's say, in the body of an infant that was born the night she was killed by the drunk driver... I could wait until I was 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 years later. I could wait, and then I could start talking to that person that had been that energy had transformed into, and I could interact with it. Could we pick up where we left off? The answer is never. That's not something we've ever seen.
The answer is that's never happened.
It's never happened.
Right. Yeah.
And so
there are people that have claimed this.
Oh, there's a lot of claims out there.
Claiming this, and yet the problem is that there is no memory.
And they're all Joan of Arc. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone came back from Joan of Arc.
But isn't it interesting though that these people claim to do this? But we have they say we only use a small portion of our brain now.
It's not true.
Not true.
It isn't.
No.
A couple hundred years ago, what did they do? It seems like to me, you know, in the last 200 years, we do a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that here?
You can say whatever you want. Fuck yeah.
Are you
kidding me? Nigger, please.
I forgot.
Anyway.
I go vault. So we in the last 200 years...
You can't say go vault.
The world has really become so big.
Yeah.
But before that, it was all about, you know, you make the butter and you have to make a dress and it's all day to do everything. You know, it's like we're all one-trick ponies.
Yeah.
And I can't believe what a fucking nightmare it would be all day to, you know, have to shoot something and cook it and pluck it and... And I would just say, God, where's the store?
Yeah.
You know, and this was their life. So they didn't really have time to think about other things, or maybe they did. I don't know. I would love someone to come back from that time and say, what the fuck were you doing for that long? You know, and all this stuff. It just seems like forever. And now that we can do so many more things. I don't understand how this voice gets out there.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's magic.
I don't. It is. Yeah. And I don't get how this cell phone that's the size of a pack of playing cards, if someone would have told us when we were kids that we were going to talk on this, we could shop on it, we could play a game, I mean, take pictures, I would have said, you're an idiot.
But you know,
any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic.
Just because you don't know
how
it works doesn't mean you can't know.
Right, so that's the same thing about...
Or somebody else
doesn't. About
or someone
yeah,
else
yeah,
doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Matt Kirshen was on a plane once, and the lady next to him was really kind of nervous about the flight, I think, taking off. And they got to talking, he and her got to talking about the plane. And at one point, she goes, I don't even know, how does it stay in the air? And I'm sure that wasn't her accent.
That was Edith Bunker.
Yeah, it's amazing watching. How does it stay up? I guess we'll never know. That's what she said to him. And he's going, people know. There are people who know.
I would have said, honey, I'm hoping they know because I want this.
Yeah, we already bought the ticket, babe.
And we're in the air.
It's so funny. I was going to say something, and then you mentioned it. I just flew back from Seattle doing an Atheist Alliance of America conference. And as I was flying back, I was sitting next to this guy on the plane, and we just started talking. And normally, if it gets into, what do you do for a living? Yeah. I'm an atheist comic. It usually ends up bad on an airplane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this guy was really cool, and we had a good conversation. He was very into physics. He was really on board with everything I had to say. We were talking about medicine, and we were just talking about all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, oh, this guy's
cool. Found yourself a science-minded guy.
Totally. He was good all the way down, pretty much all the way down to the end. But I think he must have been one of these guys that came from something else. Like, he had religion in his background and pretty much threw 99% of it away.
Yeah.
And then he would do the same thing that so many people I know do. They get down to that, they're 13.7 billion years old, and maybe there's a multiverse, and maybe, you know, all this sort of stuff, and yada, yada, yada. And then he would say, But something created that.
Yeah, deist.
Yeah, and I would say you're a deist. He'd go, I'm not even a deist. He goes, I'm not even saying it's anything. But he couldn't let go of the fact that he wasn't saying it was and wasn't saying it wasn't. But he couldn't let go of the fact of a conscious thought. And he kept saying the phrase that drives me nuts. Well, why are we here? And I kept saying, you mean how?
Right.
And he goes, aren't those the same questions? I'm like, no, they're not.
Oh, okay, this is great.
Yeah,
So walk me through.
Well, okay. So the thing is...
Mr. Can I just say one thing first? Because I have to say, because I didn't say it last time. I am going to be in a movie. everybody, before we get so heavy into it's opening August 22nd. It's called Love is Strange. It stars Alfred Molina, John Lithgow, Marissa Tomei, Cheyenne Jackson, Harriet Harrison, Manny Perez. So many great people. Please go see it. If you live here in Los Angeles, I'm actually going to the screening.
Cool.
And you're all here invited.
Yay.
It's a beautiful film.
Sweet.
It's about these older gay gentlemen who get married. I play their friend who marries them and how difficult it is for them to live in New York once their apartment... things that happen. And it's a really great story. It's directed by Ira Sachs, who's a brilliant filmmaker, and I'm really excited to be in a movie that actually is getting released.
Right.
Nice. That's great.
And all of us who are in show business understand what that means.
Absolutely. It's fun to talk about. It
doesn't happen anymore.
It's the stuff we don't talk about that really bums us out. You know, all the shoots we've done that didn't make it to
the
cutting room floor, all that nightmare,
exactly.
The bookings that are never happened.
It's going to play at the Landmark Theater in West LA. I'm going to the 7 or 8 o'clock show. I don't know what.
They have the most uncomfortable couches on the planet.
Yeah, but we're sitting in a big theater.
Okay.
So it's going to play in that theater, and it's the weird couch where you're like...
Yeah, I know, right?
And it's going to be on Friday night, and I'm going to be there, and so is Alexander Paul from Baywatch. And
cool.
She's my date. And,
nice.
And a lot of other friends. So please come and join me.
Come
and
on out.
Are all right.
Ask Jason to autograph your penis. So back over to... What? I'm sorry. Tit?
Then
boob,
I have to get it hard, and it's just... it seems like a whole process.
That's the word. That's work.
Okay,
that's
I'm sorry. Work. Ask Jason Stewart to autograph with his initials, your flaccid penis. Now, I wasn't trying to paint that much of a picture.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I just went down the street.
Let's take him there, because we're going to have a good time with Jason, because I can tell you now, from the cursory discussion that we've had, you and I have had, Jason, last Monday that you were here, I'm very excited to talk about your religious background and where you are now. I get a sense that you're one of those kind of spiritual, non-believing guys.
That whole God thing, spiritual, I'm a Jew, 100%, both sides, everywhere. You know, and I was brought up to believe that there is a God and that there are traditions. And the older I get...
Tradition.
All that stuff. There is no traditions because we make this shit up.
Right. Yeah.
And we choose to do what we want and not what we want. And then I have a friend who, very dear friend, is a born-again Christian. She became it, you know, probably 10 years after we met. And she is in love with the Bible.
Yeah.
which was originally what I'm to understand, written in Aramaic, translated to Hebrew and to Latin,
Greek,
and all these other languages, and done in a different time with colloquialisms that probably some of us still don't know what they mean.
Important also to say retranslated. Each translation is not a new translation from the Aramaic.
Written by several authors.
Yeah. Right.
And then edited in 323.
That's right.
And then re-edited multiple times after that.
Yep. And many parts removed and added.
Yes.
It's really bizarre.
So the first Bible is not around anymore?
The original...
The oldest living Bible's... Like,
no, I mean, the copies of the first Bible, not actually the physical.
No. I don't think anyone even knows what the... And the oldest living one is like hundreds of years past...
Past Jesus's...
Past any of those times.
Yeah. So nobody really has the original Bible.
Well, that's the thing about Bibles. I mean, holy books are written hundreds and or thousands of years after the claims in the Bible that you read. So
after Jesus's death, he wrote about Jesus.
I wish I had my friend here on the show. This would be so great.
The soonest anything... You do not have a friend. Stop that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I would love to have her on the
Bring
show.
Bring her back.
I don't know if
she'd do it and she'd feel like we were attacking
her. She would feel like I'm attacking her.
I have to give a shout out. I saw the most painful debate I've ever seen in my life at the AAA conference in Seattle. Richard Carrier, who wrote about the historicity of Jesus, went against a professor that was a theologian, like a Bible professor guy. And it was brutal. It was a rape. It was horrible. Yeah. At one point, I felt bad. You know when you start going.
See, but that's.
I felt so bad for the Christian guy because at one point he was like, he was literally. I forgot.
That's a shame.
Yeah, but you don't want that. I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated at the idea of blind faith. I'm fascinated by that. And I don't want to tear someone apart. I want to learn and say, hey, how do you, where is the street?
When we come back from the break, we're gonna dive into where Ian had been taking us, and you were very interested in.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, we're gonna get right back to that as soon as we're back from the break. But right now, we're taking a break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in maladjusted.
Oh my God, what
like
are you saying?
You.
What?
ROAD.com/Emery and buy the damn thing.
Colgate faced big obstacles marketing toothpaste in Spanish-speaking countries. Colgate translated into the phrase, go hang yourself.
Well, that's nice.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe, and we're talking with Jason Stewart and Ian Harris. We were talking about the concept that there's an energy that remains. And we're going to get back to that point. I want to make sure we come back to that point, because I've got a lot to say on that, and we haven't hit it a lot, or recently, rather. But, Ian, you were saying you were on the plane with this guy, and the why versus the who, that's an important thing, and I know people are like, get back to that. Well, we are.
Yeah, I think that the thing is that the guy kept saying, well, you know, we were arguing. He said, well,
I'm not
you mean
how.
Yeah.
I said how.
Yeah.
I meant how.
He was like, well, how? And I said, no. He said, it's not the same thing. Why implies, just by the nature of why, reason.
Yeah.
And he kept, like, getting confused between reason and, like, a cause and effect. So he go, well, you know, if you don't tie your shoes and you trip, that's why you fell. And I go, and he goes, it's also how you fell. I go, yeah, you're right. That if someone said, why do you fall? Well, because I tripped on my shoelace. That's also how I fell. I said, but when you say, why are we here? You're not asking, how did we get here? You're asking, what's the reason that someone as awesome as me was created?
You're also implying that there was
a conscious forethought.
I don't think it's a how you fell. How you fell would be the mechanics behind falling.
Right, no, but what he's saying is when you go, hey, why'd you fall? Oh, because I tripped. Well, yeah, but that's also how you felt. Like, there's not a real, why did I fall? Well, because I really felt bad about myself. I mean, you know what I mean? When someone says, why are we here? They're asking, what was the pre-thought?
Why am I here is different than why did I fall. That's a fact. Why did I fall is what caused me to fall.
Right.
Why am I here? And that's what that guy was asking.
What's the purpose?
He was trying.
Yeah. What is our reason?
Now, listen, you have to understand, when you're talking to someone like this, Ian, that person is indeed asking you, why did I fall? He's saying to you, he's communicating an idea to you.
Right.
He's communicating that he thinks, he believes, he's connected to and he's married to the idea that there was a force that caused him to exist.
Right.
That's what they're communicating. And just getting into a semantic breakdown of what why can or can't mean, I don't know that that really moves the conversation forward as much as understanding what's causing that person to use why in that way.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, by the time we left the plane, he goes, you know, yeah, he goes, I think you might be right on that one. He's saying, I'm going to think about it a little bit more, because he kept saying, well, I don't think that why implies like conscious pre-thought. And I said, well, then what are you asking when you say, why are we here?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I guess I was trying to say how, but the question's always why. And they said, well, but yeah, maybe it shouldn't be why. And I said, yeah, because I mean, why to me? Because then he kept saying the same thing that we've also heard, where he would get all the way down to that end and go, and whatever the reason is that we're here, whatever started us and this and whatever that energy or the first quark that popped into existence or whatever it is that happened, he goes, I call that God. And I go, why? When other people have these, some people think God is a guy with a white beard on a cloud,
yeah.
Some guy. Well, I go, why would you, if it already has a name? Of whatever that is that we decide that where the universe began.
Yeah, I can tell
if it
you
already
why.
Has a
I can
name,
tell you why.
Why give it a name that is confusing to 99% of the people
I
in the world?
I can tell you why.
Why?
It's very simple. It's because they want to be a part of this. They want to be a part of it. And I do it too sometimes because I want to be a part of it. But my new word is life force. That's my word for it. There's a life force out there.
Out there or in you?
I don't know where it is. It's in us. And then when we die, it leaves us. Because I saw
and,
that.
And
that
you
was,
don't know where that goes.
No.
Okay.
Nobody does.
I think
oh, sure we do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Science has very good, strong answers for why the life force.
Tell a guy who barely graduated high school, because that's me.
Yeah, look, you don't have to tell people.
I'm in
first
here,
of all,
okay.
First of all, you have to understand what caused your father, my grandfather, and all of us have stood over a bed. Many of us have stood over a bed as someone passed or had just passed. And we see the difference. That life force is no longer within that body that we're going to put in the ground. You have to understand, in my opinion, if you really want to grasp it and you want to try to understand it, dive into the biology. Understand what's going on biologically inside the body that causes the energy that keeps that body moving. When you start to understand those processes and you start to see them, at least for me, when you start to see them as a biological thing that occurs.
Like a car that dies.
Well, I'm going to go to
like a battery.
I was going to go to a plant. I mean, right. When you know what I mean? When I see a plant that has all this water in it and it's using the sun, photosynthesis is taking place.
I see where you're going and I'm so sad. You mean I'm just going to die and it's over? And
yes, you are, my friend. Whoa, yes, you are. And you know what's important? What's important, if you understand and know that, you have to make every goddamn second count. Oh, exactly. And you have to leave if you care, if it matters to you. Not everybody cares like this about this sort of thing. It matters to me, and it matters to a lot of the artists that I know, to leave some sort of a legacy that lets people appreciate what you did. Yes. And you are doing that, my friend.
And can I just say another thing on top of the biological mechanics of when somebody dies? There's also a perception on our end. When you know someone is dead, you immediately have a sadness. There's a lot of stuff that you don't see that person as alive anymore.
Yeah.
That's going to affect your perception of what's going on. That's a fact. If I'm looking at somebody and I know they die,
stress.
I automatically feel they're gone. Everything's gone. I can feel
you're
or
empathizing.
See. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And your perception of how they look to you or how they feel to you is going to be changed just by the fact that you know you're never going to talk to that person again.
Right.
So that's also too. I mean, collectively
as a world, we don't have this because the world is mostly filled with religious people. Am I correct? Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right. So that's the religious outnumber non-believers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So collectively, and I just had this feeling when you were talking to me. I had like this thump.
The job that I don't have anymore was to care for an elderly woman with Alzheimer's. And at the very end of my job, she was dying, and we brought her home for hospice care. My job was to give her her medication, her morphine, so that she didn't feel anything till she died, pretty much.
That's what they did to my dad.
And so I was there to give her her last bit of medication. I sat there and watched her die. And I didn't... maybe it's because I wasn't related to her, so it wasn't like as a close of a situation. I've known the woman for a year and a half. I've gotten to know her, so there was something there. There was a connection there. We liked each other. But I watched her change physically and mentally over that whole entire year until the moment she died. And I watched the moment that she died. And I know what you mean by seeing or feeling like some sort of change occur, because a change does occur, but it's more so with the physiology of the body. You know, the body is changing, and you can physically see that when a person is dying.
So then I go to Robin Williams, when the body is in the mind and whatever is chemically imbalanced or whatever is happening with him.
Yeah.
God bless.
You can say that. That's what you feel. We might pick on you, but it's okay.
Yeah, I say it as a term.
I know what you mean. It's saying
bless him, because... I'd met him several times, so I've had some sort of a connection.
Yeah, he was in the film The Aristocrats, and
you think to yourself, so he's not going to get into trouble for doing this, because we always hear that if you kill yourself, suicide is
a sin.
And when you get there, you're at the gate, and they're really pissed.
But that's just a story. Really.
Yeah, of course.
That's because they had to do that, because otherwise, what would stop you from killing yourself?
Just to get to heaven.
Heaven is the greatest place on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, let me kill myself. That way I get to go
there.
Or the
400 virgins or whatever those guys are.
Yeah.
And virgins aren't really great to have sex with.
No, kidding.
Right?
No, I've turned down more than once.
What if the virgins are all elderly?
Yes. Or 40-year-old man, as I say in my
exactly.
act.
or worse.
Well, that might be okay for you.
As Robin put it, as Robin Williams put it in 2002, what if they all get up there and we're talking about the Muslims down there, they're for their 72 virgins. And No, we said Virginians, you idiot.
Well, I always want to know what happens on day 73 of eternity.
Yeah.
So you're like, I got 72. That's 72 days in eternity. Really not that great.
I love the fact that you're just spending each day with one.
One a day.
Because they're not virgins after one.
They're not virgins after one.
I guess I could go 72 straight hours.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why not just a fucking orgy of you and virgins?
Conserving my virgins.
I'm
every day for eternity.
That much teaching and mentoring and
seriously though.
And mentoring.
Mentoring.
Oh,
you know, and then
God.
They keep calling you afterwards. And women, my God, women, you know, guys at least can move on to the next one and not want to go insane.
So funny. You know, that was my first time. Did that not mean anything to you?
No. And you're fat.
I was going to say, this joke is great. I was going to say, seriously, though, speak to someone who works in hospice care or a doctor who deals with death all the time and get their experiences. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, when...
Whether they believe in God. I'll talk to my doctor next time I see him.
Yeah.
My mom left me a message the other day, and she said, you know, when I die, I hadn't called her in a couple of weeks, and we used to talk pretty much every week at least. Uh-huh. And it had been 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4, since I'd talked to mom, and she said, you know, when I die, you're going to feel really bad, and I don't want you to feel bad that you didn't call me, but if I die and you haven't talked to me in a while, you're going to feel really bad.
That's from Terms of Endearment. You know, she's that. That's what they.
I know. I know. She's a hack. My mom's a hack.
Yeah, she's and, okay. Which I thought was one of the greatest speeches ever.
I love Terms of Endearment. So if that makes me something other than what I am, I'm sorry. But I you. All my friends pick on me for liking movies like that. You don't get it. You're gay. You live in a world where everybody accepts that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was some dialogue in the movie where she says to
even her, TiVo picked on me.
She's done.
I watched Terms of Endearment. The next thing you know, it's nothing but musicals coming up. It's fucking stupid. It's
not you might like this, Liza Minnelli.
No,
no, but they go hand in hand, my friend.
Terms of Endearment.
According to TiVo, the
it starts suggesting all the Judy Garland movies for you.
Machinery.
Well, there's like, what the fuck?
For those who don't know, the
Judy
movie,
Garland and Nathan Lane.
There's a scene in the movie where the mother is dying. And her son is really angry, and he's like 10.
Yeah.
And she says to him, she says, look, you know, I know you love me. So, you know, 10 years from now, when you're feeling really bad that you were so mean to me,
don't.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I know you love me, and you don't have to worry about that. And I was like, oh, my God.
Can you stop? Stop. I'm going to start crying. Will you just stop?
I was pretty good doing that.
Oh, yeah. bring my daughter her medication.
Yes.
Bring her medication. Fucking nurses sometimes can suck.
But James Brooks, I gotta say, writes the most incredible doc.
Yeah, amazing. All right, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Great news, in fact. Thank you, Doc. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you can afford it button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. Every once in a while, I get an email that says, I really can't afford your goddamn show. That's all right. Let me know. We'll hook you up. So be generous if you can afford it. Support the show. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Did you know that it is impossible to lick your elbow?
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many people are trying to do it right now?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say?
Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More what? And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Jason Stewart and Ian Harris. Thanks again for being here, guys.
Thank you for having.
Are you
doing any comedy dates?
I am doing. Well,
where are you working?
Well, my biggest thing right now is promoting the...
We haven't even mentioned it yet.
Comedy special, Ian Harris Critical in Thinking, which was released yesterday.
Where was it released?
Well, I'm only going to say iTunes, because it's supposed to be on In Demand, which is supposed to be Comcast, Cox,
Time
Warner.
In or On Demand?
In Demand, which is the company that distributes all the On Demand.
Okay. I see.
That's the name of the company.
Stupid fucks.
So they run... they distribute to every cable company, AT&T, DirecTV, all those ones. And so far, I've only been able to find it on AT&T UVerse.
Oh,
and,
really?
And iTunes. I don't know why.
So it's not out there.
It's supposed to be. It was supposed to be out yesterday on everything.
And who can you
demand.
Call?
Ghostbusters.
Yes. No, I'm waiting for the distributor to get back to me. Some dates, some of them might be
so
delivering
it's just
it later.
iTunes and, iTunes
and AT&T UVerse and the Amazon, rollout. Google Play, all those
Give
things.
Give them a little time to roll out and see what
and
happens.
Is it
but either way,
it
iTunes,
video?
I'm going to blow up
it's
iTunes.
A, it's a concert.
Yes,
it was taped at the
Barnsdall Gallery
Barnsdall,
Theater.
I can never remember.
And it was directed by
who directed
some
that?
Asshole name.
I don't know who that is. Emery.
Oh, hey,
was
I don't
that
know if you know
guy?
Him. I don't know if you know him. He's kind of a
that
dick.
That I was script director on.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? You look a lot like the, except for she had a mohawk.
I love that she doesn't even realize that she's script supervisor. Not
yes.
Script director.
I got my own title.
How could you
thank
be script
you
supervisor
much.
On a stand-up thing?
Well, he had a set list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I needed to know exactly where he was headed and where he was. So she's in my head letting me know what's coming next, so I can get the cameras where I need them to get the right shot.
It worked out quite well. Yeah.
It's a nice show.
It looks
it's
really,
really
good.
Nice show.
I think some of the cable companies may have actually not really because I think they can decide.
Whether they want to or not?
Yeah, and I think a few of them may have not been too keen on it.
Well, turn that into a fucking news story, my friend.
I still think it's funny. Like, I still get some people who don't. You know, I get a lot of people who don't think it's good, and I got people who think it's great, but I guess that's all comedy, right? I
mean, well, I'm interested.
Yeah, get used to it.
Yeah.
I will be playing. What's today's date?
Today's the 13th.
The 14th, I'll be in Santa Barbara.
That's tomorrow.
At the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. The 15th and 16th, I will be at the Surf City Comedy Club in Huntington Beach. Tuesday, the whatever, I'll be in Hollywood at the Laugh Factory. And Wednesday, I'll be at Long Beach at the Laugh Factory. And then I'm going to lie down.
All right.
And if you want to, if you
but forgot you're not going to let go of your life force.
No.
Okay. Yes. Good. Hang on to
and
that.
And if you forget where.
I thought you were trying to tell us something, a cry for help.
And if you forget where any that is, just go to jasonstewart.com, STUART, yep. And it's all there on the appearance page.
All right.
Yay.
And scene.
And scene. Fucking actors. Go
acting.
See it, Jason. Acting.
Acting. Acting.
Acting.
Now tell me, when you were delivering that monologue, how did it make you feel?
It made me feel funny and loved.
Yes.
It really did, because Emery just really laughed, and then you looked at me like I was naked.
Yes, well.
I'm not really convinced. Let's go back to one. Go ahead.
And. Do you ever see the, Nicole, I can't remember her last name. She was on the Big Gay Sketch Show, and she did a sketch playing Elaine.
Boozler, no.
Elaine Stritch. No.
Oh, okay.
Elaine Stritch, a big Broadway actress who passed away recently.
Yes.
As a greeter at Walmart.
Yeah.
And someone would walk in and welcome to Walmart! And Emery, walk in. I didn't believe you'd do it again. Wrong! I'm stretching!
That's fantastic.
It's so funny. You know, she was in Walmart, you know, wearing that shirt with a, she was known for wearing a big man's shirt and nylon and pantyhose,
right.
but never wore pants, which I found very disturbing.
Yeah.
Never wore pants.
That reminds me of, and that became kind of like a jazz dancer kind of look.
It was, Judy Garland yeah, sort of you know started what I mean? It, but I still find it really weird.
Well, for my high school talent show, me and another girl wore that same exact kind of outfit.
You were wrong!
Well, apparently some parents in the audience thought we were really, really wrong because as we walked up the aisle after we finished our routine, a parent yelled out, "Sluts!"
A parent?
A parent. Yes. A parent.
How appropriate
is that?
This
is in high school. And
get your pants!
She told me the story, I go, what kind of voice was it? Like, can you do the voice? And I'm trying to goad Heather into telling me whether it was a white or a black chick.
They're all black.
Yeah, they were all black.
I went to a black high school.
Well, was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
Oh, well, at least it was a woman.
And we danced to Straight Up Now Tell Me by, what's her name?
Paula Abdul.
Yeah. And it was a very jazzy, cool,
with the cat.
Cool dance. Awesome. And we won first place, but we were called sluts by a parent.
And you didn't have any pants.
And the lesson
we
there
had body
is
suits, full body suits on and black stockings and big men's white shirts
and there's the
and
lesson.
Jazz shoes.
If you want to win, dress like a slut.
Slut.
Damn totally right. Not slutty.
Or be called a slut. I wouldn't necessarily call it a slut. I just find it disturbing that an 80-year-old woman was not wearing pants in a Broadway show.
Yeah, that does bother you?
Yeah, I think it does.
Anyway.
Wrong!
All right, listen. I want to get us back to... I really love the discussion we're on. I really like this discussion.
No pants?
No, I like. We're moving beyond the no pants.
Oh.
I really like this discussion of life force, you know? And... like when I told you the analogy I gave you with the plant and when the plant...
I get that.
You get it.
When I saw it, I so got it. I could see the plant.
There's life force there and then it just turns into a thing that lays there and doesn't do anything.
And it disintegrates.
And the
one
ants come and eat it.
And you become
dirt.
My ex-manager, ex-stalker / ex-manager, started crying because he said to me, he had gotten me like flowers or something like that and he said, "This flower is dead, and it doesn't even know it's dead yet."
Oh, my God.
And I just looked at him. And this was me being a naive kid, and I'm going, I don't think that's quite how it works. Yeah. But he was
very upset about this flower
that was cut.
It is very disappointing. So, and I'm not even that big of a God person, but I was thinking as you're talking, man, okay. All right, so when it's over, it's really over.
Right.
And, you know, I'm never going to see Lauren Bacall.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see,
gone.
You know...
Robin's
you know,
gone.
Robin's gone.
Elaine Stritch or my dad or my grandparents or my grandma.
What do you do about that?
I guess nothing.
No, there's a lot you can do.
What? I guess what you got to do is you certainly live your life the fullest. And
I tell stories about my Aunt Lynn to as many people as
possible. Oh, I always
to
do
me.
That.
I do voodoo to bring them back.
What?
But
voodoo?
It doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
Do you think science will ever... you say no, there's no way... I mean, now we live longer than we're ever supposed to.
I try only to talk about what's currently true. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I say in the bigger discussions, I try to only refer to what's true. I do love the idea. In fact, just today.
It's time travel. It's
like just
every
today,
boy loves time travel.
Right? Just today, I was driving along after dropping my daughter off at the airport, and I was kind of just... I was just having one of those ethereal moments where I was like, it sure would be nice to be able to see her go all the way through this process of life. And I had that moment. And then I thought, boy, I'm looking forward to the possibility that our consciousness can be stored. You know what I mean? And and then we can be reanimated in a body that's maybe either computerized or a robotic body.
Thinner.
Things like that. Oh, definitely. Are you kidding me? And and or have the subconscious or the conscious mind stored in a quantum database where we can all interact with one another and the body's unnecessary. These things appeal to me. I'm hopeful.
Robin Williams did a film called Bicentennial.
Yes, he did.
And it was about a robot who became human.
Yeah.
Because it was sort of similar to what they're doing now on that new series with Halle Berry called, I can't pronounce it, Extant. Extant, yeah. And I mean, that idea, I mean, I don't know, I'm sitting here thinking, man, so you guys had this moment, I'm having my moment of like, maybe there is nothing. So I'm like really disappointed right now.
You know, when I realized
I could come back as somebody else and be thinner and happier.
Well, you're really illustrating you're illustrating the reason religion always seems to hang on. It always seems to. That's exactly it.
It's better.
You know how many times I've heard. You know how many times I've heard somebody say, and this is another one that I don't get. Another one of these things I just don't understand. I've heard so many people say, "Yeah, I really don't necessarily believe it, but it makes me feel good." Better, and you hear that, and I always think, isn't that supposed to be subconscious that the person does this because it makes them feel better? As soon as you say then you're basically saying, I'm pretending to trick myself. Like, how do you trick yourself into believing something you don't believe? I don't get that.
What do you say to the people that say, I heard Jesus Christ come to me?
Well, let me respond to this and then have you ask that. Let me tell you something. People, cognitive dissonance is a powerful, powerful process. And in the moment that you're forcing that person to admit to reality, they are telling you exactly what you've made them realize.
Right.
But more than likely, that person throughout their lives haven't been challenged in that way. And more than likely, the minute you walk away, they put that conversation on a shelf and try to fucking forget it pretty quickly.
Right.
And get right back to the cognitive dissonance that they lived their lives with.
Right.
That's what I think's going on there. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm still thinking about being dead and how sad I'm going to be when I die.
No,
you won't.
How sad were you before you were alive?
I'm still going straight.
Don't remember.
That's exactly right.
I know.
If there's no consciousness,
it's like knowing there's going to be an operation on a certain date.
If the soul is if the soul is eternal, then
it has awful
and has consciousness. That consciousness would be here forever, and you would remember. Just like if you die and you go to some sort of heaven and you remember the life now, you would remember, your soul would remember its time before this life, wouldn't it? I mean,
well, that's an interesting conversation that appeals to me more than just being dead. the idea that, you know, this is what I kept thinking, the idea that computers and television and radio and everything is in the air and we can't see it. So there is a lot of stuff that we can't see.
Yeah, no question.
So then maybe that we can't explain. I guess we can explain that.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to talk about that right after the break. Because that's a question we hear a lot, right?
Yes.
So if that's something that took us a while to see, maybe that the life force is recalling it will be something.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners.
Our listeners?
Yes.
All right.
Carl Barrett.
Carl?
Six Ball. Rob Hook.
Rob.
Lightning Pecker. Hurricane Chavance.
Chavance.
Beaner Cock.
Cock.
What the fuck?
What?
Unclement Weather Wedding Tackle.
Tackle?
Daniel Lucas.
Dan.
Worse Than Grape Threats.
Threats.
Shaggy DePope.
Pope.
Thundercock.
Cock.
Grave Apologist.
Just.
Bunny Boy.
Boy.
McJustice.
Justice.
Yamsack of the Asians. Welcome to the Gaberhood. My Balls Itch. Perry Dillyolilla.
LOL, yeah.
Cameron Winters and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody. These are
That was the weirdest one we've ever done. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Jason Stewart and Ian Harris.
I'm really having some real feelings.
I know you are. There's no question.
It's like I'm going to be dead. It's going to be over.
Okay, we're going to get you through this.
And I wasn't
thin. We're here for you.
I don't know if I'm going to get thinner.
You know, somebody.
You will definitely get thinner when you die.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to wait till I'm looking
really
like
thin.
Like an old handbag.
We've had. I had WTF, Mark Maron.
Oh, I did his show.
He sat across from me one day on my show and he goes, why do you want to take away people's happiness? Why do you want to strip them of their hope and their. You know,
that's
and he's a non-believer too.
Yeah.
But he felt like that's what we do on the show. This is the first time I've had someone sit at this table and go, "I'm really having some feelings right now." We're gonna talk about those. Sam?
Have you seen the video of the little girl who realizes that her younger brother is gonna die?
No.
Oh, it's on YouTube. I don't know how to tell you to look it up. It's adorable. That's why, because this little girl is. She comes to the realization that her younger brother is going to die, and she's just sobbing and hugging him. And
see, my brother would have been really happy because he wanted to kill me the minute I was born.
And
I have a scar right here is when he hit me in the face with a shovel. Then he made me stick my hand once into a bucket of quick dry cement. Oh, and then my mom's Camaro came home and he tried to chop it off with an axe. So I don't know if I can watch this video.
So what? Wait, Sam. So is there a?
I'm not sure. How I already to tell found you to look it. Look it up. Yeah,
I already found.
But is it because the girl realized it, or what were you trying to?
I don't know because they start shooting her when she's already crying. They don't explain what happened beforehand.
They come into
and
it.
I don't really read comments. You really comments need to choose
your language a little better. They didn't start shooting her.
Oh, no, they came all
it
over.
It only took one shot. Boom, and disgusting. She was done.
So we're going to watch that video in a minute. I want to take us right back to where we were a moment ago, and that is... I know you're serious. You're not joking.
Oh,
you're serious.
I am. It is really sad.
We've stopped and made you think about this.
Yeah.
Had you never thought about this before?
Yes. When my dad passed away.
Sure.
And when my grandmother, who I was very close to 10 years, passed away. And just the idea that, you know, you're never going to see that person again. And also, when you get past a certain age, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers are probably younger than me, you know, you just get to this thing where, God, I've lived on the planet more than I'm going to live, probably. Right. And the idea that it's mistakes. And I do forgive myself, but the time is time. You can't get it back.
Yeah.
You know, Jane Lynch wrote something in her book that I thought was so great. She said, what would you tell the younger Jane? And she said, the first thing is, you know, ditch the perm. And the second thing was, you know, don't make your life so hard. It didn't help anything.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't help to feel bad about stuff. It doesn't help to make yourself crazy.
Right. Ian, you know, so much was there time. A point in your life, were you ever religious?
No.
Was there a point in your life when you realized that the end was the end and you had this moment that he's having now?
Not really. I always thought the end was the end. I was pretty much raised an atheist. So, yeah. Although the weird thing is my mom is a psychic, spiritual-y type person.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had this kind of weird belief in ghosts when I was a kid. Because it was normal. Like, mom would say, the ghost of your uncle, the ghost of this, your ghost, you know.
I grew up in a family that believed they had a ghost in the attic.
Yeah, so I grew up with this thing that ghosts are real. But the whole time, I think what really brought me to severe skepticism is in high school, I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't believe in an afterlife. There's no such thing as a soul. This is all ridiculous bullshit. Then what's a ghost? And I kept trying to find, like, these scientific reasons
of it.
There's
no ghost, too?
And I was like, I tried to think, like, what is it then? Is it some sort of energy? Then why is it in this form? And then I wrote the joke about it. Like, early on, I'm like, why the fuck's it wearing clothes?
Yeah.
Like, is that the soul of the suit? This doesn't make any goddamn sense.
So wait, is there really no ghost at all?
Are you serious? Now listen,
my friend Sheila Kay says there's a ghost in her house in Plainfield, New Jersey, and she's seen her.
That's right, and there are a lot of people who hear voices. Now listen,
no, she saw it. She saw a ghost.
I know that she believes she saw a ghost.
So when
one day I was sitting next to the bed, and I had just sat my brand new iPad on the nightstand, and it just rolled right off the edge of the nightstand. The way that shocked me because I see it moving, suddenly it's flying, and what I saw was the flip as it came off the edge, you know? And I put it back on the table, then I sat there and I watched it just completely, ethereally, slowly slide off this flat surface and back onto the ground again. I was just fucking stunned. Now, if I were an asshole, I would go around telling people a ghost knocked it off. I don't know, asshole. If I were full of shit, if I believed that kind of crap, that's what I would go around telling people. And I'd tell people I watched that happen. And I would be convinced I saw a ghost in action.
What did you think you saw?
I know what I saw. I'm someone who tests things and figures it out. I ran right in the bathroom, and I got some water. And I poured water on the table. And it's at a ever so slight slant where water did exactly the same thing. It slowly rolled to the edge and came off. And then I realized that the flat surface of the glass on top of the table and the very smooth surface of my iPad worked in concert to allow it to slide right off, only very, very uber slow, because it was a very gradual thing. The water gave away the fact that that slant went that way. When I propped it up a little bit and made the water drop stay in the middle, it didn't slide off. The ghost suddenly went away.
There was a biological...
There was a completely reasonable explanation for what happened.
And that fact was that the ghost was a bad architect.
Yes.
So it was completely reasonable, but it wasn't, you know, and it made... But it didn't make sense to someone like me who didn't take that class because he wanted to be a star.
Yeah. So the people who don't look deeply into biology or into the mechanics of glass on glass and consider the possibility
glass to glass. Sorry.
That there might be hot glass on glass action. That there might be some Janet reasonable explanation. Is that right?
My best girlfriend in Philadelphia, best friend for years, we... are total opposites when it comes to this. She told me when I was over her house that there's a ghost in the attic. And I said, how do you know there's a ghost in the attic? She goes, I know there's a ghost in the attic. I said, okay, tell me how you know this. She goes,
did you see it? That's the first thing you ask.
There was a construction worker working in our house, and he said that there was a ghost in the attic. And so there is a ghost
in
the
attic.
Was he hot? I don't think so. But... he told her that he knew that I guess maybe he had heard about this house that they're living in and that there was a ghost that lived in the attic. So now she just knows this.
One of the reasons
she hears things.
Yes.
So
and she assigns it to the ghost.
She assigns it to the ghost. Of course.
But houses settle forever. Every couple hours, that new TV I have on the wall behind you, that thing makes a weird creaking sound. It kind of pops. I have no idea why I've gone over. I've checked to make sure it's mounted okay. It is. I think I know what it is. I think
it's the life force of the television.
I think right. It's the heat.
I told you the televisions are connected to us.
The heat. The heat that comes out of the back of the TV causes expansion, and when it's off, it causes contraction, and that's probably the best explanation.
And how often, honestly, do you hear about ghost stories that happen in the broad daylight in non-creepy places? Like 90% of them have to be at nighttime in somebody's basement or in their old house. Rarely do you go, yeah, I was just driving down the street and George Washington appeared on the car next to me. Like, you never hear that. Like, it's almost always...
Yeah, but you see that in L.A.
a
lot.
There is there is a lot of these films and shows and books and things written about things that we can't explain. And do you think that everything is explainable?
Yes. I think everything is explainable without supernatural explanations. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything in the natural world...
But maybe supernatural is scientific. Do you know what I mean?
Then it wouldn't be supernatural.
Right.
Maybe that's just another word for something scientific that happens, that there is a force of things that's in the air.
Well, let's talk about it, because we're coming back to that.
That's what I'm really obsessed with.
Okay. Well, before... All right. We're gonna get right back to that. But first... we're going to see this little girl completely lose her mind the way you are internally right now, Jason.
Oh, God. Now I'm a 4-year-old girl?
Yeah, here we go.
Christ on a cracker.
I hate to laugh at it, but it's so stupid.
I don't want to grow up.
Can you stay a little forever?
Yeah, he's so cute.
She's devastated.
And I don't want to do it.
That's my favorite part.
Oh no.
I love how it says inaudible. Yes, I do believe
so. But look at the baby. He's like, don't worry about it.
Hey, like, sis, it's okay.
Take a vine. I'll be like this forever.
Yeah. Oh.
I swear to God, if she gets her own show, I'm going to be so mad.
So I misunderstood what you were saying.
I thought the kid had like leukemia or
something. Right, the way you were describing it, I thought the kid was actually going to die because it was sick. And
I was like, that's funny.
And we really hate it when really cute... But we really hate it when really cute people die.
He's just going to
die. If you're not attractive and you
die,
we don't really care that much.
Yeah. Is that how it is?
He's so cute. Oh, yeah, he's hot. You know, it's sad.
Just that he's going to die someday.
That overweight slob homeless guy, who gives a fuck?
I think we all care if the overweight homeless slob.
I do.
Yeah.
Though I'd like him to stop standing in front of my 7-Eleven. It's really just how much money. I swear to God, I think I have actually put this guy, paid his rent 1 month. I swear to God. I've given him so much money. I've given him so much money.
Good
I said,
you.
Honey.
You've bought him at least 3 refrigerator boxes.
I was going to say. I had a friend of mine say.
He's been there for years.
I gave a guy money one day and a guy was like, you know, that guy, he's going to use that for drugs. And I'm like, if I was living in a box, I'd want to get high too. I don't have any problem with that. If that's the scenario That's how he wants to use that money.
Just a manicure once in a while. Why can't they spend the money on a manicure once in a while?
Why don't you give me money for drugs, damn it?
Yeah. I don't see, drugs, manicure makes me feel good.
A manicure does it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I hate dirty nails. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, just a manicure and a pedicure once in a while if you're going to wear sandals.
Or milk cartons, as they might be.
You know, because a lot of them, at this particular 7-Eleven, are not as bad off of it as others.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think they've got it. This, my friend, has got it down to a science. I just think he's not capable of holding a job. It's just not in his sphere.
Well, those who are on the streets, those who are in that situation, are wrestling with mental illness.
Oh, I
generally
think so. Mostly.
Speaking. Almost yes. always. Yeah.
My guy is.
Yeah. I always wanted to go around. There was a guy, I used to live in West Hollywood. There was a bunch of crazies.
Too.
And there was this guy that used to wear a catcher's mask. And he was really nuts. Like, you know, he wasn't the kind of guy you could even have a conversation with. He would, like, just, you know, he's talking to himself. He's very
scared. One in the boogie head. Come on over. My sister's a guy. No, motherfucker. Give me a gumball.
He had this catcher's mask. And I always thought, you know, the crazy people are talking to themselves. And where I grew up in Santa Cruz, there was a guy that thought he could direct the stars and to point them and tell them. Maybe. I always thought it'd be great to go interview them. Just, so what's the catcher's mask? Because, you know, that guy has a reason. People be throwing balls at me and shit. Like, yeah. He's got an idea of why he wears a catcher's mask.
Well.
If you can get it out of him. You know, I just wonder what.
Right.
When he gets up and puts on a catcher's mask, like, he's thinking.
I'll tell you why my cousin wore a lot of things, including really dark sunglasses all the time. Because he was. I'll tell you after this.
Hey!
That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Jason Stewart and Ian Harris. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Sam Kramer. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Not dicks.
And we'll be talking about...
I didn't mean it.
Well, yeah, what are you saying?
Vaginas.
Oh, we'll be talking about vaginas. I see what you did. There's a play on words. This has been the free version of episode 155, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Myers Hayton Swam. And
Myers
our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Race Baton Winters.
He's always doing that. Where can people find you, Ian?
You can find me on Twitter, Comediocre, or Facebook, Comediocre. And you can find me on iTunes, Ian Harris, Critical and Thinking, out now, available now.
Go watch our special.
Watch it.
Yes.
Where can people find you, sir?
Everything All Jason Stewart at jasonstewart.com, STUART.
All right. Thank you very much. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist.
Am I
Ardent
dead
Ardent Atheist
now?
Is a product of natural selection.
I'm dead.
Be? You
You're not
be?
Dead. We'll fix this.
I'm dead.